It is a Wednesday, and that means we have the chance to visit with Brian Walton of thecardinalnation.com. As always, we're brought to you by the doctors of Blue Tail Medical Group. They're some of the nation's top experts in the fields of sports medicine and stem cell regenerative therapies. Doctors Bays, Crane, Wolf, experts in stem cell regenerative technology. So before you have surgery, think about what they can do. We're talking about your body's stem cells redirected to concentrate all their power into the joints that cause you pain. Schedule an appointment, 636-778-2900, 636-778-2900. Visit them at BlueTailMedicalGroup.com. Well, Brian, for the longest time in this offseason, there wasn't much to talk about, but we got a lot to talk about now. How are things going, and good morning to you.
Hey, good morning, Dan. Yes, it's great to see finally some more clarity around how the 2021 spring training and regular season are going to be organized and structured. And, you know, then you hope that that will go downstream and the same kind of questions get answered for the minor leagues as well.
The offseason has brought us to Waino, Nolan Arenado, and now Yadier Molina. You know, in my mind, it was kind of a foregone conclusion. I always felt that Yadi was coming back. How about for you?
Well, yeah, and to their, you know, defense, the Cardinals have been very clear all along that even though this was a down payroll offseason for them, or year-to-year 2020 to 2021, that they had always allocated money to sign Wainwright and Molina. The real question was, could they do any more than that? So, yes, I think everybody kind of thought that was going to happen, and, you know, they were able to do a deal for Arenado that was basically payroll neutral in 2021 at least. So, you know, I think at this point in time, we have to look at the improvements the Cardinals made and with the guys coming back and say, this pretty much looks like the team that they'll have this spring. Yeah, they may bring in some guys on minor league deals and all, but, you know, you have to feel pretty enthused about the way this team is looking right now.
Pecota, I love the projections. I get into the numbers. I know you do as well. They've got Milwaukee and Chicago ahead of St. Louis. I'm not sure I buy into that. How about you?
Well, what I posted on the Cardinal Nation forum was those projections are a hot mess. I don't see how anybody can look at the talent, not only that was here last year, but then look at the players that have left and the Cardinals having really made the only major addition and say the Cardinals are an 81-win team, you know, a third-place team. It boggles the mind to me, Dan. And I think those projections are going to get posted in the Cardinals locker room and are going to get stomped on a number of times during the 2021 season.
I want to go back to Yadi. You consider that Yadi has got four of them, platinum gloves. Arenado has got four of them. And so eight combined of the 10 that have ever been awarded. DeYoung is not shabby. Goldschmidt's won a gold glove. Bader's probably got a gold glove in his future, at least potentially. Tyler O'Neill already has one. I think Tommy Edmund is going to play above projections. And Dylan Carlson is just fine in right field. Defensively, this team seems to be very, very good. It's going to be a strength of this club along with their pitching.
Yeah, and then that's the Cardinals' formula for the last couple of years, and it's going to continue. The positive is that Arenado's bat's now in the lineup, and we'll get a full season of Dylan Carlson as well. But yes, I think that the value of the defense is something that isn't easily measurable, right? We see ERA, we see batting averages, OBP, OPS, but, you know, defensive numbers aren't just as obvious, but the number of runs that defense saves, you know, is just tremendous, and there's no reason to believe that this team won't be as good or better than the team last year.
What'd you think of $9 million? I thought it was fair. When you looked at Real Muto for, you know, so $9 million for Yadi, I thought, okay, Real Muto, he had to wait for that domino to fall. And then you looked at McCann getting roughly around 10. Castro was around, what, 6.5, something like that. And then it became, what do you pay for legacy on both sides? You know, what's it worth Yadi to come back and potentially finish his career in St. Louis? And what's it for the Cardinals to bring a franchise icon back? And I thought $9 million is probably right. I thought it was right.
Overall, in the scheme of things, whether he got 7, 8, 9, he could make $10 million. You know, he's got some incentives in there that, you know, hopefully if the incentives are based on appearances, he doesn't reach them because, you know, ideally Molina will get less rest and we'll see more from his backup. But different topic for another day. The Cardinals had enough money to pay Molina. It's a fair deal. Way equivalent over $1 million here or there, you know, isn't a big deal because it's not precluding them from signing anybody else. The Cardinals are going to achieve their objective of a down payroll. while still getting their two legacy players back and, you know, picking up, you know, just a tremendous asset for the next 7 years. So, you know, you have to focus on what they accomplished and not really get hung up with the money, in my opinion.
This time next week, we're talking about the beginning of spring training. So we hope it gets off on time. What excites you about this club as they head into 2021?
Well, I think what excites me, not just about the club, but just about what's happening in baseball, that they were able to, you know, get the health and safety protocols defined so that we know, okay, there are going to be 26 guys on the opening day roster. There's not going to be a designated hitter. There's going to be a five-man taxi squad. You know, that the whole thing, all those things, so that not only do we know what players are going to be on the team, but we know more or less probably what kind of roles they're going to compete for. Now, you know, no designated hitter certainly means that Matt Carpenter is going to have to move around and probably, you know, fight for more at-bats than he would have seen otherwise. But, you know, other than that, you look at the lineup and you can kind of see the guys that are there. Now that Dexter Fowler's gone, Dylan Carlson's not going to have to move around every day. He'll probably be your regular in right. O'Neill, you know, is going to be the guy in left until he proves he shouldn't. Same with Bader in center. But then we've got, I think probably to answer your question directly, the thing I'm most excited about is to see what Lane Thomas can do, what Justin Williams can do, right? The young outfielders that were either sick or just even Austin Dean, that didn't get a chance to show themselves really in 2020. Because I think Lane Thomas is a lot better player than folks, than the guy that we saw that was definitely struggling with the after effects of COVID.
Yeah.
He could force his way, you know, into that starting picture at some point.
Yeah, there's no doubt. The Cardinals this past week traded Dexter Fowler. It's probably good for Dexter, gets reunited with Joe Maddon. Who knows how much he would have played against left-handed pitching, which is something to consider. He was very much a down player from the right side of the batter's box, and you're trying to get, from the Cardinals' perspective, young players a chance to play. What was your take on that deal?
I think that was a win-win for everybody. I mean, Dexter Fowler was going to get his 500 plate appearances, at least for the Cardinals this year. You know, he was going to be the starter every day until he showed he wasn't. And the downside of that is those 500 at-bats or plate appearances that Dexter Fowler got wouldn't have gone to Lane Thomas or O'Neill or Bader or somebody else. And so, you know, this is really a matter of – and the Cardinals are paying for most of his salary, and certainly, you know, he'll get a shot, you know, with the Angels. So, you know, Dexter Fowler's got nothing to hang his head about. But, you know, for the Cardinals, this is really about, you know, clearing up playing time and resolving once and for all – you know, which of these outfielders are keepers and which they aren't. And, you know, granted, if somebody went back and listened to this conversation we had exactly 12 months ago, you know, we said the same thing then, but COVID came and the season that happened was abnormal in every way. And so, you know, we're still faced with basically the same questions about the Cardinals outfielders that we had a year ago, but 2021 should allow them to resolve it. And Dexter Fowler, you know, no longer being on the team, I think, opens up that opportunity better than had he stayed.
I don't know about you, Brian, and Brian Walton of thecardinalnation.com is my guest, and I would advise everybody, make sure you head to thecardinalnation.com more than ever because of the truncated season to learn about these young players coming up in 2021 and beyond. But I'm still not sold that we will not see a DH in 2021. I understand it's got to be negotiated, but I still think, and remember, it got negotiated up until the final first pitch almost of last year. I still think there might be a shot that this gets done.
You know, I've been saying the same thing, and, you know, it's harder to make that argument now that all the things have been, you know, that have been documented to structure the season. And I think that MLB may have done a disservice by tightly linking the designated hitter to their proposal for expanded playoffs, because the players apparently were not happy with the amount of money that they would get from the expanded playoffs, and therefore they dug in on the designated hitter. When in reality, pretty much anybody you talk to, player, owner, broadcaster, writer, we're all going to say, yeah, the designated hitter was fine last year. Yeah, let's bring it back. So there's not really anybody against it, but it's just a casualty of these unpleasant, unfortunate, you know, negotiations between owners and players where they can never seem to agree on anything.
In terms of a young minor league player that once we see minor league baseball fire up, or if some of these kids have a chance to go to spring training, we don't know officially who's going to be there or not. Give me a couple of names that aren't on the radar that you're excited about seeing and could make an exceptional jump this year.
Well, Angel Rendon is the name that first comes to mind. And he's a guy that was the pitcher of the year in the minor league system a couple years ago, got added to the 40-man roster. But for whatever reason, last season, you know, he didn't get included in all the call-ups of the Oviedos and the Whitleys and all the others, the Elliges and that all came up. And don't really know why, but in terms of his tools, and folks will be able to read the details about this at the Cardinal Nation this week, of all the pitchers in the Cardinals system, Angel Rondon has the most above pitches of anybody in the system. Got four above average pitches. And so you with a repertoire like that, and he hasn't pitched a game at AAA yet, so you know there's obviously more work to be done before he reaches the majors. But he's a guy that I think could make a big step forward and you know work his way into the pitcher, you know, picture for St. Louis. I mean, we already know about the Libertors and the Thompsons, and rightfully so, they get a lot of attention. But somehow, I think Angel Rondon has sort of got lost in the shuffle, at least in terms of fan perspective.
Do you like that the rules are coming back, runner at second, so on and so forth, with extra innings and some of the others?
Yeah, I do. I mean, like we talked about before, it'd be nice to see the designated hitter, but that's not the end of the world. The other thing, you know, the runner on second, you know, even, you know, traditionalists like Mike Schilt said, yeah, you know, it made sense to do. The seven-inning doubleheader, that's going to come into play probably for COVID reschedules and all, and it seemed like everybody seemed to think that was a good idea. There's decisions been made on the size of rosters in spring training, you know, no more than 75 players. Okay, you know, that looks good. So, you know, the things that they're doing, you know, testing going to continue every other day. The things that are going to occur, you know, seem to make sense. And I think that baseball is going to do everything they can to play a season as normally as possible.
This is the final question for me. This is the time of year that Brian is really busy, and you're always busy at baseball time, but getting ready for spring training when so many fans that normally, you know, may follow the minor leagues, but they really get into it and they have a chance to watch the games on television and they see these minor league kids and they're like, oh, I heard about that guy, but tell me more about him. You've got the prospect guide coming up. I call it a handbook. It's my cheating guide in spring training, thanks to you. So that's coming out. I want people to know about it. What's in it? How do they get it? And some of the things you're working on right now.
Yeah, the Cardinal Nation Prospect Guide, now it's our fourth year, and the intent is to focus on the top 50, 60 prospects in the system and go in depth on what makes them special. And this time around, you know, we always have significant detail about them, but this year we've added detailed tool ratings for the pitchers, for the position players, excuse me. So we're talking about hit, power, run, throw, et cetera. And then for the pitchers, by their pitches, each of their grades. I show where they might get assigned this year. We talk about Rule 5 status, ultimate potential, just so much. It's almost 260 pages of information. It's available in PDF form now, so you can come and buy it. And if you're a subscriber to the Cardinal Nation, you can get it at half price. And the spiral-bound books are at the printer. They're being printed. And my goal is to make sure that whenever you call the first game this spring, that folks who put their first orders in will have the guide in their hands. And so when Ivan Herrera or whoever it is comes up to bat, they can flip over their page and read everything they want to know about them.
Awesome stuff. Great stuff, Brian. I appreciate your time as always, and thank you so much. And we'll catch you up next Wednesday.
Take care, Dan.
That's Brian Walden from thecardinalnation.com.